Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. Folks, the scriptures say my people perish for lack of knowledge. We live in a world that's becoming more and more dangerous as time goes by. Millions of people are aware of this fact now and are actively preparing. Back in 2004, the folks here at Prophecy Keepers Foundation foresaw this situation and began preparing information for you. Friends, I seriously suggest that you head over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look at the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library. The Prophecy Keepers Trilogy is a 1,000-page intelligence briefing. The trilogy is a sum total of many years of collecting, collating, analyzing, and comparing prophecies from all over the planet. Before he passed away in 1985, Mad Bear Anderson predicted that someone would do exactly what we have done. Mad Bear passed into spirit in 1985 before he could realize his dream of collecting and comparing prophecies from all over the world. He said in his biography, "Someday someone will collect all the native people's prophecies, myths, and legends and would publish them in one place so they could be compared with those of all native peoples worldwide, and then we really will have something." And friends, you'll be absolutely shocked to find out that we discovered exactly what that something was that Mad Bear wanted everyone to know. As it turns out, that certain special something that Mad Bear was searching for in the prophecies has everything to do with your physical safety and how to protect it. Now folks, there's absolutely nothing available on the planet like this collection. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files in 222 folders. You'll also receive direct access to links that will allow you to download all 145 past Prophecy Keeper's interviews. Now folks, I won't kid you, Prophecy Keeper's does need money to continue to operate. We had a very close call at the end of last month. We almost didn't raise the funds that we needed to stay here on Blog Talk Radio. So please head on over to prophecykeepers.info and take a look. OCO, Aginalii, this is Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the Cherokee Nation.
Hey, Allison, have we got you on the line?
Yes, you have.
Allison's here to tell you about Fireburn Doctors. Let me preface this by saying, you know, we've all heard the stories and seen on TV and movies, you know, photographers go to some rural area of Africa, and the people don't want their pictures taken because they might believe it'll steal their soul. Well, let me tell you something. My friend Robert Shrewsbury at TerraFirmaAssayers.com uses a nuclear magnetic machine to find anything. He can find anything on the periodic table. And he works with archaeologists and to prove that he can do what he can do, he has them send him a picture of the target. And he really astounds people when he sends them the exact GPS coordinates right down to the deck of which other ship they're looking for. And the way he explains it is when you snap a picture of something, that photograph also captures cosmic rays that are emitting from the object that you're looking for. And I suspect that, you know, I've never talked with Allison before, but let her tell you what's going on, because this is a fantastic story.
Oh, well, I don't know whether that's connected or not, but if I can just give a little introduction to who Fireburn Doctor is. We're a team of former healthcare professionals, some still active. Well, the head of our team is Dr. Joseph Watson. He's a medical doctor. And we're demonstrating for free, direct to the public, an intervention on burn injuries that provokes the body to fix itself. And it's public tests. It's for them to take the number of Fireburn Doctor, stick it in their cell phones, stick it to their refrigerator doors, and if they burn themselves, that they can test us on the way to the hospital. And we have over 500 results in the last 2 years where people have done just that. They've heard me on a radio show or somebody, they've heard about Fireburn Doctor. They've called in the first 30 minutes of their burn, and they're experiencing the pain is disappearing in minutes, and the tissue damage is restoring right in front of their eyes, sometimes taking just a matter of hours to be gone completely. And even in severe cases, it re-epithelizes to the point of no scars and pigment return. We've had some astounding, shocking cases. But we already knew this was going to happen, but we want the public to know it too. So if I may give that number, and so people can stick it in their phones right now, it's 818-332-6445. And if you're dialing from outside the U.S., then stick 001 in the front of it. And that's it. Call us in the first few minutes of any kind of thermal accident, fire injury, and then sit back and watch what happens.
That's amazing. I watched some videos, you know, particularly the salty one of the guy that burned his hand on a lace. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, oh, my gosh, you know.
That was very funny because the journalist who for 6 months had wanted to capture that on film, and then lo and behold, a friend in his own workshop on the journalist's premises, he burns himself on this engineering equipment, came in the house cussing and swearing, and Jed Dole, the journalist, said, hold on a minute, I'll get my camera out and let's call Southern Doctor. And this guy would nearly gave him a punch between the eyes. He said, how dare you insult me with this hocus pocus, this is really hurting, with a few expletives in between, I guess. But and you know, eventually he did persuade him, and he was filming while it was going on. And that guy was a definite non-believer. He did not think it was true. He thought it was rubbish, and it proves there's no placebo. And we've also taken care of babies and people whose relative has called in that data, and they've received exactly the same result and didn't even know they were being processed by Fireburn Doctor people. So,
well,
a lot of fun.
I can imagine, you know, it occurred to me to try this, you know, a few years back. I went through Reiki Level 1, oh, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. And, you know, and in the upper levels of Reiki, you can do long-distance healing. And I didn't get the upper certifications, but they said some people do have natural Reiki. And in the winter of 2009-10, I spent a few weeks in Shreveport, Louisiana, right about the time Avatar came out. And another Cherokee.
I did that course. And I'm a Reiki master.
Oh, cool.
And neither of them are anywhere close to this. I mean, I really did 25 years of explorations in all sorts of genres, and this knocked my socks off. 8 years ago, I met the founder of this. I've seen hundreds of cases on all kinds of health crises, not just burns, and it's the real deal. And it has, I loved that we contacted you with your show because its roots are from the ancient Amorican traditions where the Celts and the Native Americans actually come from. So it's very exciting to be on this show indeed.
Yeah, I can. I think I got a pretty good handle of what's happening here because now I wish I could have Robert Three Eagles on this show because he would just say, hey, you know, using the laws of physics, you know, you'd be talking at spooky action at a distance. A magnetic resonance probably would be first in his mind. He uses nuclear magnetic resonance in his machine. And basically, once you tune into the frequency of someone or something at any distance, you can communicate with it. This is how your MRI machine works at a very short distance and actually images, you know, what's inside your body. And,
well, it does fit with quantum physics. The quantum life continuum and the quantum field are the same
mm-hmm.
place, and that we have someone operational in that field who, just with that basic data of name,
mm-hmm.
date of birth, place of birth, or a photograph of the face of the burn victim, that's a signature. That's an imprint, or it's a marker in consciousness where they can be located in seconds.
Well, let me tell you an amazing story, and then I'll shut up. Robert had an assay office in central Utah, and he lost track of his brother who was working with him and who was traveling back and forth between Manti, Utah, and El Paso. And Robert, knowing what he did about magnetic theory, knows that magnets actually reach into the etheric realm. And he thought, well, he knew how to do map dowsing. Now, the U.S. Army military intelligence, starting about 1890, started using map dowsing secretly, and they learned this from the Indian Wars. Cherokees used to do this. But what Robert did is he figured, well, I'm just going to write down my brother's name, birth date, the name of his parents, and everything on a piece of paper. And he says, then I'm going to douse for it. And he got out a map of the United States and doused in two different directions, you know, got an X-coordinate, and then he got down to the state and to the actual county and city. And 2 weeks later, his brother called up, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I haven't called, but, and he says, that's okay. He says, I've known exactly where you are. He says, how could you know where I was? He says, I knew. So go ahead.
Well, it's for the public to see, because what's taking place in this, I mean, it's a science as well. It's not just what people might think on a spiritual level, but its scientific name is DSNB, which stands for Distant Subliminal Neurobypassing. And in the first few moments of a burn, there is a disproportionate rogue reaction in the brain of fear and pain that impedes the body from fixing itself like it would immunologically in any other scenario. The body usually gets straight to work and starts sending if it's a cut, then they'll send platelets, and the cut will get sealed, and blah, blah, blah. But in a burn, for some primordial reason, we have an overreaction, a big fear, and the pain is so excruciating. You know, I mean, even on little tiny burns, it hurts ridiculously. And it's that overreaction that is being bypassed with this. And what then is happening is a trigger to that template, that wiring that we have, that we all living organisms have, is provoked, and that takes over, and that fixes the burn. And it's very easy to train people too. I mean, once we've got thousands of cases documented worldwide, the next phase will be breaking the skins of the mainstream media, and we'll be asking for people to come forward for training, and that will also be free. That'll be a greatly fun phase.
The Red Cross will be your big step.
When all doubters and detractors have been muzzled by the sheer volume of cases, we're going to be in a new era of of its applications, and people will have been seeing proof that we are all one, and proof that we've got an impeccably pristine template within us that can be provoked. And that's way outside of reductionist science and way outside of the medical genre. So we'll be in a new era, and again, that'll be very exciting too.
Well, I'm excited. I haven't been getting out much the last couple of years, and I haven't heard of y'all till you contacted me, and it's an honor, because we consider what we're doing to be life-saving work. And this is not only life-saving for earth changes and other threats. This is something that can happen to you any day, any time. And we're honored and pleased to have you on.
Oh, well, thank you. And it's important for the listeners to realize that they can still think this is hogwash. They can still think it's rubbish, but just do it anyway on the way to the hospital. It takes about 30 seconds to leave that data, and you'll be very glad you did. You know, we've many cases of people saving weeks from being pulled off of work. They've saved tax dollars in not having to use any other intervention. But really, we want the severe cases, the third, fourth degree, terrible skin damage that disfigures and scars. It also responds just as brilliantly, where the body will heal it to the point of complete reepithelization as though it never happened. And on the news page of fireburndoctor.com, there's a case of a little African girl who had been pulled out of a house fire with her brothers and sisters, and she was terribly burned. And you can see her photographs. And its tissue is gone. And unfortunately, we didn't hear about her for 4 hours. So the damage of that deleterious rogue brain signal had really set in and solidified physically. But she still, there was a guy that was in the village who'd called that burn through to the US number, and she still responded with no pain from there on in, and complete skin regrowth. And she didn't even lose the pigment, you know, her beautiful dark skin returned with impeccability. It shows us amazing things about our body and something culturally that's been missing from our world in terms of proof that we're all connected. And it's the first in human history to be able to demonstrate this for the public to test. And so.
And by the way, we have the member of your team, Nancy Landman.
She's not a member of our team. She's not a member. She's someone who recently heard me on
she's
a radio
here.
Show.
Nancy, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to let you know you're there. Go ahead.
Hello, Nancy. I can't hear her.
I'll be darned. Her number is on the line. Okay, well, go ahead and continue. Maybe she doesn't know she's on the line.
what we like to do is when we go on radio shows, we'll ask some of our very, very grateful burn victims if they would like to come on with us and just tell their stories. And that is a bit of a snowball effect, because the first big show we went on was Coast to Coast, and we had a lot of burns come in from that. And a lot of helpers have sprung out of that who are happy to speak to the media. And Nancy was on heard me on a show about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I literally only asked her today, would she like to come on? So is she there still, do you think?
Nancy, you there? Okay, go ahead. We must have some problem. I'll go ahead and, Nancy, if you can hear us, I'm going to drop your call and see if you can call in again.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead, Allison.
Well, so, I mean, what we've been doing this for grassroots style for now 2 years, because up until then we'd been about 4 years going to the mainstream institutes, the burn hospitals, the firefighters, Congress, Senate members, showing them proof. They were blown away, but they did nothing. And then we realized that, well, perhaps social media is the best route to go. And the true first responder in some of these accidents is mothers. Mothers know when their loved ones are burned, and they don't need permission. They're not bound by legislative protocols and keeping their pharmaceutical companies sweet. You know, those sorts of things aren't a restriction. So we urge them to stick that number to their kid's backpack, put it in your cell phone, stick it to your fridge, put it anywhere you can reach quickly in a panic and call within minutes. The optimum response is in the first few minutes, but make sure it's within the first 30 minutes at least for the best result.
Well, I guess we have, Schopenhauer's maxim going on here. When something first comes out, you know, you're considered to be crazy, and then after a while people figure you're ahead of your time, and after a while it's just considered to be something that is self-evident truth, and that's the process that you're going to have to go through with this, unfortunately.
Yes, we are, and it's documenting cases. That's the only exchange we ask for in this, is that people call us or email us and tell us what happened. It'll always be free, no other charge or any kind involved in Fireman Doctor whatsoever. So, yes, and then we're stockpiling those cases. People can read lots of those testimonies on fireburndoctor.com, and check out too the news page, which has got a new film, a sort of montage of some of the happenings that have been happening with Fireburn Doctor, and it's called How Do You Guys Do That? The Technology of Possibilization, and one of our team members, filmmaker Jane Clements, has put that together. So that's quite a thrilling. It's the first in human history, and it's going to take people by surprise.
Well, I'll tell
but
you,
it's normal, Will. It's normal.
Yeah, and you know, when I started thinking about this, it's funny the memories that come flooding back. Well, I was in the hospital, I think. It was at St. John's Hospital, you know, the Marcus Welby, for those of you that are old enough to remember Marcus Welby. St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica, probably having my appendix out, probably about 1962. Anyway, there was a young girl in there who was horribly burned. And I remember the screams because, you know, they have to literally scrub off to debride the upper layer of skin, and then they had her wrapped in gauze that was daubed in the silver iodide. And, you know, if this can save people from, if you can get this into hospitals worldwide, you know, oddly enough, it's probably going to be accepted in third world countries just because necessity is the mother of invention.
Indeedy. There are so many uncharted burns happening in African countries. They don't even make it to medical facilities, so they're not part of any statistic. But we know that there are horrific burns because of the climate, because of oil pipes running through their country, all kinds of reasons, a very dry climate. It's so commonplace, and it's almost a personal pain when we're hearing about news of explosions and terrorist bombings and big events where multiple people have been burned, to hear about them and then not know about this is just so frustrating. So we're going full tilt in these couple of months to really break through in springtime and get burn cases in from Africa, in from India, from third world countries, and you know, put this documentation under the media's nose where they'll be forced to pick up the story. It'll get too big and too voluminous in number. That's the idea.
What have you had any interface with the World Health Organization? Because I know Ayurveda. I'm an affiliate for an Ayurvedic medicine company, and Ayurveda is recognized and used worldwide by the World Health Organization. And I suspect that would be a place to make an inroad there first. And but, yeah,
well,
anything we can do anything, we're glad to help you.
Well, when doctors and nurses, emergency services, are seeing this for themselves, and they have a mindset of what typically happens, the medical standard is known, third and fourth degree burns do not regrow skin, according to medical standards. So, if you like, it's like a control group already exists, and the public, by the sheer volume of numbers, will be an antithesis to what they know. And when they've got people coming into their emergency rooms who had been pulled out of a house fire, barbecued, and they were expecting them to be in agony and have to give them drug-induced comas and go through those procedures as you described, and then they're sitting up and having a cup of tea, and they've got no pain, and they just, you know, and they're watching their the damage in their skin recede and look as though it's an older burn, like days old. One of the common denominators people are describing is that on the day they burned it, their pain is gone and their blisters will go down. But by the day after, or the day after that, it's looking like it's 3 weeks old. It's looking like it's in fact, the interview with Judge Barnhart, that's what he remarked on so strongly. It was his wife's burn. I think we've got a recording of that, haven't we, later on?
We've got those queued up anytime you want to play them.
Yeah, well, we will. But if you, Judge Barnhart's story is great because he also did a contrast experiment on a burn that he had after his wife's burn, which was his first experience with Fireburn Doctor. He then burned himself and thought, well, I won't call Fireburn Doctor, and the contrast is great. But we want medical communities to see this, but you see, it's not a medical intervention. It's a science of the unconscious mind. It's completely new. They don't have a yardstick to compare it to, and it's, so it doesn't fall under their guidelines. It's too different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything they've seen before. But medical doctors, ER personnel, firefighters, EMTs, all these emergency people can be trained in this so quickly and have it in their arsenal. But they'll wait for the flood to happen, like you say. Once it's everywhere, they'll be hopping and skipping to jump on board. So
what about like gamma ray radiation? You know, post nuclear kind of situation.
Well,
it's a burn. Burn's a burn.
If it's actually thermal accident where it's through heat, I would imagine yes. I just know that acid burns, for example, it's not going to be used on that, at least not in this experiment. Once the results of this are known worldwide, then we will be inviting scientists and shamanic people to come forward and test it in their own arenas, in their own laboratories, in their own circles of activity, and on other things. But for now, everybody knows how a burn behaves, and that's why it's visibly very distinct and very obvious that this did not go as they expected, and everybody in the public knows what they behave like. So,
are you at liberty to reveal anything about how the process works yet, or are you just going to hold off on that for a while till you have the proof?
Well, I've got some limited semantic tools which I can help give an analogy. But, you know, even after 8 years I've seen this working, I don't have the semantic tools to describe it fully. But there's two ways I can describe it. People, if they think about the World Wide Web, and when they send their emails and their friend within seconds on the other side of the world gets their email, and it's an unseen web that connects all our computers. And if you think of the body or the person who's burned like a computer, and the computer's got a virus, then that computer is not going to behave normally. It's not going to work very effectively. And this is like an antiviral thing, in that it circumvents, it bypasses that fear and pain reaction like a virus. That's like a virus in human consciousness. It's not supposed to be there. But nonetheless, this then facilitates the body having this immunological surge with nothing getting in the way. And another way of describing this is that we're all in this biocontinuum, this quantum field that Carl Jung and Einstein identified in terms of quantum mechanics. Well, what we have here is a biomatrix hacker who is able to surf and be operational in that field, that life continuum. And that's a transcendental process, and that's why we don't get to do that ourselves, because we've long since been separated from that unified field, and we've lost that faculty. We haven't lost it. It's buried. So our biometrics hacker, once he's given that data, is able to locate them in seconds, and in that field there's no separation.
Hey,
so
Edgar Casey did it.
Sorry?
Edgar Casey did this. He was able to lay down, go into a trance, and I saw a documentary one time about someone was supposed to take, I think it was called oil of smoke. It was an old patent medicine. And back in those days, in the 20s, they could only write letters back and forth, and they couldn't find it. He had told them, well, you know, go to your pharmacist and get oil of smoke, and they went to the, couldn't find it. So he jumped back into his trance and said, and he went in the spirit, went to the place and looked it up. Sure enough, he says, well, it's on the second shelf, about 2 feet from the roof, up on the right, the third bottle back from the second row, and it was stuck way back in. And so,
that's remote viewing, really. What Edgar Cayce was doing was remote mm-hmm. viewing, and the Russians have had that technology for some 50-odd years. This is remote doing. This is actually causing a physiological event in the body that would otherwise not happen because it's impaired by this rogue brain signal. And it is a fault in our consciousness to be our physical repair and other things that we could be doing is interfered with in our consciousness. And this is to show people that it can be bypassed and that we can wipe out the scourge of burns. There are just in the U.S. alone, there's 1 million burns a year, mostly children and holiday times. And they're, like you described, that what they go through in hospital is horrific. And all credit to the nurses to be able to cope with working in that kind of environment. But that doesn't need to happen, is the point. And there are more deaths by burn injury than HIV worldwide. It's a scourge, unrecognized scourge, that is, there's no huge billion-dollar research projects going on with burns. There's not a lot they can do. Just like you said, they scrape off the slough skin, the damaged tissue, to protect against infections, and they can do skin grafting and reconstructive surgery, but that's about the end of it, and they certainly can do nothing to prevent the scar tissue or avoid the scar tissue. But this is a massive immunological response that's inherently in the body. And it's a twofold thing being proven here, that we have that wiring and that we're all connected and that this can be taught. So it's people need to see the proof, first of all. They need to see the proof.
Well, all of this kind of reminds me, you know, my Lakota brothers say Mataki Ayasin, which means we're all related. And I know that the most adept healers can go into a sweat lodge and they can locate lost objects, but they can also do healing. And funny you mentioned the web, because they imagineer this by using a spider totem to go in, and they actually were able to heal neurological problems and all kinds of this is how they imagine that it's done.
Well, it's immensely connected. The origins of the founder of this and the origins of this science, which is very old, extremely old, and it goes back to American times and when we were all, you know, one tribe coming down after the last ice age. And those traditions have been unbroken in this particular lineage and protected, very, very ardently protected, and clandestine underground for centuries and centuries and centuries.
Well, now you said, I thought you had misspelled something, and I corrected it, and I need to reconnect it, but you said Amorica. Now yes. What pops in my mind when you say that is something I was reading in Rosicrucian literature years ago, the Amorcans. So what do you know? I can't remember much about them other than, what do you remember about them?
Well, I only know a little. I know a little from being, you know, becoming a student of the founder. I've learned a lot about that person's origins. And I don't give the name out on air, although if anyone wants to Google Fireburn Doctor, they're sure to collide with some of his work. But his traditions have been unbroken for all those years, and after the last ice age, they were Hyperboreans. They came from Greenland, and they split, and half went east, half went west. And those that went west were the Native Americans, right the way down into the native indigenous peoples of the South Americas. And on the east, they were the indigenous peoples, the Celts, the Keldanes, the Druids, that were the indigenous peoples on that side of the landmass. And they were genocided, really. You know, they're, through human history, they've been wiped, systematically wiped out.
Sounds
not
quite
this particular
bit,
clan.
I'll bet Mark Amaru Pinkham could resonate with that, because Grandfather Rolling Thunder taught me of a group of spiritual missionaries, not religious missionaries, but they were called the Asaga, and they traveled worldwide thousands and thousands of years ago. And so, yeah, okay, I got a little bit of idea what you're talking about here.
It all fits with our indigenous genealogies. It all fits beautifully, and this science is coming back up into the fold right now. Is not accidental. It's very much needed, very much needed, and it's a great message of hope. You know, to proof that we're all one, not just a theory, not just a blind faith, and proof that we have this incredible wiring in ourselves is a great upsurge of hope.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, I suspect, you know, the U.S. military has jump-started a lot of movements. Now, I did some graduate work in vocational rehabilitation back in the late 90s, and 98, 99, and during World War One, they necessarily, because they had millions of people to deal with, they had to figure out how to pigeonhole people and what kind of jobs they could do. And so I suspect if you could start recruiting people from maybe the Special Forces Association and other Black Ops type veterans, and then they're connected to the people that are actually boots on the ground doing things, and then when they start getting trained in this, even if it's unofficial, then, you know, the generals are going to find out about this, and, you know, hopefully they won't keep it a big secret and you know, to keep
it
themselves. Who knows?
It's not a big secret. We've been on 40 shows now, and public is not a big secret now to the public. It just needs to go broad and wide and become multinational, where everybody is seeing the proof, and it's not anybody's secret locked away. The fact that it can be applied in many, many arenas, and it can only be used for life restoration. It can be only used for wholesome things. It can never be used for anything destructive. And it's the forces of unified forces that are being operated within. And you can't take less than wholesome agendas into that arena. It simply doesn't work. Can't do it. But, you know, it's going to be on people's lips as the cases get out, and there's going to be people, thousands of people, coming forward saying, "Yeah, I want to train in that." That's what people really want. They want to be able to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That would be such fun. I can't wait for that phase.
And the Red Cross, you know, I remember in my Red Cross training years ago, how slowly, you know, it took for CPR to catch on, and now, you know, everybody's doing it, and eventually this is going to happen. I hope it comes in time before we have mass casualties to deal with. And do you want to try to get some of your? Well, go ahead. I don't want to get in your way here. I'll just.
Well,
show
I up. Wonder whether there's another caller who had used Five Arm Doctor about 18 months ago. His name is Brad, and he said he would call up around about 8:30. Have we got him close on the line or not?
Well, let me try to just give him a call and because I've got his phone number here and I'm dialing it. And by the way, Blog Talk Radio, it's so slick. This studio, you can't see it, but it's, there we go. Okay, so y'all can hear it. We'll see if we can get it on.
You get multiple callers all up at once, too, as well, right?
Hello?
Hello, Brad.
Hello.
Go ahead,
Hi,
Allison.
Brad.
Hello.
Hi, it's Allison here. I'm on with Will on a Blog Talk Radio show, Prophecy Show, and the folk listening would like to hear your story on what happened when you called Five Arm Doctor and why you needed to.
Well, the first time I'd called a couple times. The first time I called, I had splashed hot tar in my face for burning some old wood and some shingles and stuff. I slammed a bar down into the fire, and it splashed a hot tar up into my face, and my face was covered with a bunch of dots of burning tar, and when I wiped it off, it took the skin off my face. well, I'd remembered that about hearing about the Fireburn Doctor on the radio, so I, after I washed my face off, I called the Fireburn Doctor, and within, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, the pain was completely gone, and what really surprised me was it didn't scar at all, and I really thought that it would scar, because when I wiped the tar off it, the skin, the first couple layers of skin right off with it, but...
What was your pain level, Brad, when it happened?
It was between a 7 and an 8, probably.
Uh-huh. So it was pretty painful then. For a guy to say that, that was pretty... Ouch.
What was that?
That was pretty ouch then. For a guy to
give
a high pain level...
Yeah.
And how was it afterwards? What was the pain like afterwards?
Like I said, within 30 minutes, it's almost like I forgot about it, and because the pain was completely gone.
Hmm.
That sounds. By the way, you two, looks like Nancy's on the line with us. So, Nancy, you there?
Oh, Nancy, too. Hello, Nancy.
Yeah,
hello.
I'm sure.
Hello?
I can hear you, Brad, but I can't hear Nancy.
Yeah, I'm showing she's on the line. I wonder what's going on.
Oh,
I'll be darned. Okay. Well, go ahead. Continue.
Well, have you ever a second story where you use Fireburn Doctor, don't you, Brad?
The worst time was when I had a styrofoam cup had caught on fire inside of a microwave, and I seen the flames, and I panicked, and opened the door, and without thinking, I put the fire out with my bare hand, and I had the melted styrofoam that covered my entire palm, and I immediately called the Fireburn Doctor, and my pain level then, it had been 9, close to 10, I mean, it really hurt, and called the Fireburn Doctor, and within 45 minutes, there was no pain at all, and 2 hours later, I completely forgot about my hand. And I could load the wood in the back of my truck using my hand, and I didn't even think about the burn at all. I mean, that's how quick it worked.
Hmm. That's a great story. Well, thank you, Brad, for coming on and telling the people what happened for you. And it's just people need to stick that number in their phone like Brad did after today's show. The number is 818-332-6445, or you could email us at fireburndoctor, that's the long spelling of doctor, fireburndoctor@aol.com, and you could send a photograph. You can either SMS that to the telephone number, or you can send a photograph by email, and it can be an old photograph. You know, say you have a grandma who's burned herself in the kitchen or some other accident, and you are not on in the premises. You could send a picture of her when she was a little girl, her face when she was a little girl. That would be fine, and it will still work. We've got another number ringing here.
Yeah, I'm trying there she is, Nancy.
Yes, hi.
You're on the air with Allison.
Oh, hi.
Hello, hi. We couldn't hear you for a little while. Hi.
Oh, I could hear you, but I guess you couldn't hear me.
Oh. Well, Nancy, would you tell the listeners what happened for you when you called Fireburn Doctor, and how long ago you heard about it?
Well, it was my daughter heard about it, and she told me about the phone number and everything, and I kept it, and I was cooking a meal for my family, and I burnt my finger, you know, just a little burn, but it was hurting pretty bad, and I called right away within, like, under 5 minutes, and the guy called me back right away, and within a few more minutes, I mean, the pain went away. I didn't get a blister, didn't get red, anything. It just, because I think I called so fast, and I just had no pain, and I kind of forgot about it, and it just went away.
That's great. That is the key.
Really,
call in the first minute it's happened, you know. While someone's getting the burn cream, well, you do your usual medical thing by all means on the way to the hospital. But the first few minutes, it seems with the results, that the quicker you call, the quicker the pain goes, the quicker you're catching your body before that that brain signal has done its damage, because it goes on doing its damage way after the burn. It interferes with the hormones. That brain signal interferes with the, it sends the wrong hormones out, it sends neurotoxins out, it impedes the body fixing it. So the quicker we hear, the quicker your body will be in the right direction, doing its thing unimpaired. So just like Nancy, there was another guy who called in the first, literally within the first minute of the burn happening. He poured hot molten 400 degree gravy at a Thanksgiving dinner in front of his 10 relatives. He poured this into his hand accidentally while he's taking his dinner from the stove, and he's hollering like a banshee, and everyone's saying, you know, they were panicking, and let's get 911. He said, well, I'm going to call Father and Doctor first. And he got his cell phone out and rang us. And by the time the Fireburn Doctor guy is calling him back to confirm that it's correct data, because we have to know that is the correct data, so we're helping the right person, the pain had gone. And he had pain levels of 10. It was excruciating. And it would have given him second to third degree burn. But the pain was gone, and within a couple of hours, he had no marks on his hand, nothing. So it's optimum. Get us quickly. Call us quickly. Make someone else do it if you're busy with your hand under the faucet, but get someone to call that information through real quick.
Outstanding. Oh, by the way, I want to apologize to Brad, because when I called Nancy, Brad was dropped, so my apologies.
Oh, okay. No, they're both it's getting late for them, so that's good that they can just go to bed, I expect.
Well, thanks for calling in. Nancy, you're still on the line. Allison, would you like me to go ahead? Just let me know. I can call Patricia Osborne anytime you want to, but Nancy, understand that your call would be dropped. So go ahead, you two.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate you coming on.
You're welcome.
Well, we have another lady who's going to call the show. Patricia Osborne has been a long-term cook. She's cooked for thousands of people. And she was baking apple pie. She baked two apple pies in a very hot oven, and she had a foil on. And this foil had caught the syrup of both pies, and there was a lot of syrup. And she'll tell you her story, but it was very nasty. They were going to take her to the emergency room.
Patricia, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, you're on the line with Allison from Fireburn Doctor on Prophecy Keeper Radio.
Hello, Allison.
Hi.
And I would be glad to tell you what happened to me the day before Thanksgiving. I was cooking about 15 or 20 pies or more for lots and lots of people, which I have done for many, many years. And I had taken two apple pies out of the oven, and I had put aluminum foil underneath the pies because I had other pies going in. And when I pulled the foil out, it bent double, and all the molten syrup went down my arm from my elbow clear down past my thumb. And it instant raised massive blisters and peeled the skin off. I've got thin, quite white skin that's real thin, like an Irishman would have. And my husband and granddaughter were here, and they wanted to call 911. And I said, no, first let's call the fire doctor, because I'd heard Allison on Coast to Coast Radio a few days before, a week before. And we called, and I'm sure if any of you burnt it yourself, you know that the pain is horrendous and you don't think you can survive. And I'm sure mine was 10 or 15 or even above. But as soon as she talked to me, the pain started going away. It was like a miracle. The burn became less and less. It didn't totally disappear that day, but about 50% of it disappeared. Huh. I had not 1 minute of pain. I didn't put it under ice. I didn't put any ointments on it. I put nothing. And everybody that saw it said, oh, my God, you better get in to the hospital. That is terrible. It must be terribly painful. I said, absolutely not. I have not one bit of pain. And I went ahead and cooked dinner for 30-some people without even having anything on it. Everybody thought, and within days, most of it had gone. And within a couple of weeks, you could see bare red spots, but only on my thumb, which I had done myself by irritating them on my slacks, I had a little red spot. Other than that, within a few weeks, you couldn't even tell that I'd had that massive burn. None of my family believed it. They couldn't, from seeing it, to see it is the only way you would ever believe it. You would call me a liar if you hadn't have seen it, because it was truly a miracle.
That's amazing. By the way, it looks like we have Brad back with us.
Hey, Brad, still there. Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Brad and Trish, I don't know whether you've ever spoken on a show before, but you've both got very nasty burn stories. But it's true that the proof of the pudding is you don't have to believe this. It's seeing the proof. Pat and Brad, they were really, their mindset was, well, what the heck, why not? I'm going to try it. Why, that's all. And that's all we ask, is that you just think, well, why not? I'll do this on the way to the hospital and test it. It's a test, and we know what the results are going to be. But, of course, the public don't, and their shock is always amazing. I get to talk to people who've used a fireburn doctor, and all that happens is when you call the number, the clerk at the fireburn doctor team, I mean, very occasionally it's me, but mostly there's other people who are answering that 24-hour service, and they'll call you back. It's a voicemail. All you do is leave your name, your date of birth, your place of birth, or send that SMS picture to 818-332-6445, and you'll be called back within a couple minutes to see that that's the correct data. Ask what your pain level is, and just go about your day and do your usual thing, and that's it. There's no coaching or anything on the phone. None of that is happening. And in fact, when it's just by email, there's no verbal contact until it comes to when they leave a report, which is the only thing we ask for. So you've nothing to lose, everything to gain, and hopefully, you know, we want to make a lot of happy endings out there, because it's tragic knowing that the suffering from burns is totally unnecessary, and we want to wipe that out.
Well, Allison, this costs money for you guys, to 24-hour service. How are you? Do you want to pitch for people
no,
for
not
funding,
at all.
Or how does it work?
We've been offered donations. Grateful people have offered to give us money. It costs very little to run the hotline, Fireburn Doctor Hotline. We're all volunteers. We're all former healthcare professionals who've seen this work, and all feel passionately that the whole world needs to see this work. And we give our time and what little costs there've been. You know, it's not a lot at all. So there'll never be any costs involved in this, which is partly why it's difficult for the burn industries to accept.
Uh-huh, yeah, right. Well, you know, in the Cherokee, you have a word for this. It's called Gadugi. It's a cooperative work gang, Gadugi. And
say that again for me. It's a wonderful word.
Gadugi. 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 And that's what you're doing is exactly the old Cherokee way of doing things. And in North Carolina, to this day, among the snowbird Cherokees, everyone has local gardens, and the younger people and the middle-aged people come along. They'll plant the garden, they'll weed it, and they'll come harvest everything. They'll take it to the gym, and then in the fall, everybody gets parceled out according to their needs.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Giving is an inherent part of our nature, and it's a joy to give that helps to this degree. It's in 8 years that thrill has never dissipated at all. In fact, I have to curb myself. I get too excited sometimes, but it's a thrill. And when we're hitting those big cases, people that where it's life-threatening, they would otherwise die, like the little girl Adelaide on the news page. The doctors feared for her life. And, you know, it's just unspeakably thrilling. And we're supposed to be assisting life and doing things for life. It's sacred, and we're all part of that.
Is that the young lady in Ghana? Is that she's in Ghana? Yeah, I've got the pictures up on your Blog Talk Radio page. Yeah, that's amazing. She was burned all over the front of her torso and the fronts of her legs. So, you know, what's that, 30% of her body?
At least. And they were the worst kind, third, fourth degree, although there is a fifth degree. But the tissue was gone. And typically she would have had scar tissue. She wouldn't have had that much visual damage had we heard about her in the first few minutes. That's the tragedy there, is that she went for 3.5 hours with that level of suffering and that amount of tissue loss. Because of that rogue brain signal that keeps going, interfering, and it overreacts, gets infected, it doesn't know how to orchestrate past this chaotic brain signal that just throws everything out. And she'd never have had to have suffered 3.5 hours of terrible pain and the nursing procedures to scrape that skin. So please, call early.
And I know we're getting into your demand time. You know, if you need to leave the air, I'll go ahead and play the Mary Badham and Charles Barnhart interviews. And,
well, I can stay with you, but these good folks might like to go to bed.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost midnight on the East Coast, and I'm in Central Time, and it's just about 11 o'clock. So, no, you're in charge. You stay on as long as you want to.
If I may introduce Charles Barnhart. That's his real name. He's a retired judge who heard about Father and Doctor on a late-night radio show, and he was pretty blown away. And if we could play his interview, which is courtesy of Northern Spirit Radio, he off-air interviewed 4 or 5 burn cases, and Charles is one of them, and he's very gung-ho to help us, which is great.
I'll go ahead and roll that. It's 13 minutes, 24 seconds, and I'll take us all off mic in the meantime.
Okay.
Here we go.
Charles, thanks so much for joining me for Spirit in Action.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
You've been referred by Allison, a Fireburn doctor, because you've had some experience with their services. Let's first figure out who you are so that our listeners have some idea of who we're dealing with and why they should believe anything that you say, because for a lot of people, this seems like a pretty outlandish possibility. Could you give me a little bit of your background so we know who we're talking to?
Well, I suppose I'm kind of an old codger at 63 now, but I was born and raised and educated in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was in the Navy for 4 years as a hospital corpsman there during the Vietnam era. In that capacity, I served in intensive care wards and emergency rooms and large hospital operating rooms generally, and I had the opportunity to come in contact with quite a few burn cases. When I went into civilian life, I eventually went to law school and became a judge and was on the bench for about 25 years in a traffic court. And so for about 25 years, I had been listening to people testify, tell me stories, one way or another. So I've gotten pretty good at listening to people and sort of discerning at least whether or not they believe what they're saying. Now I'm retired and I manage the family mobile home park.
So your experience both working with fireburn victims before and as a judge, I guess, predisposed you to be able to bring some objectivity and some history with that. What's the worst burn you've ever seen or were witness to?
The worst burn I've been in contact with was a young lady who had third-degree burns over probably more than 50% of her body, and she was in an isolation unit, and I was part of the team that helped care for her in and out. You have to dress in sterile and go in and be careful not to contaminate the wound, and it's quite a procedure to take care of a intensive care burn patient. That was my first real brush-up with burn patients. Since then, I've taken care of a few minor burns here and there in my emergency room practices and so forth in the Navy. Nothing real terrible in that case, and I haven't had any real terrible burns myself, but just the contacts that I've had with your ordinary people would come into the emergency room or the dispensary saying, oh, I burned myself, and what am I going to do, and then we would treat it.
To what degree do you actually develop medical skills or training to be part of that when you're in the military? I mean, is this a 2 week or a 1 year?
Well, it's sort of something in between that. In the Navy, we go to it's about an 8 week long course in general medical practices. And then I was about another 16-week course in operating room technology and practices. And between then, I had several courses in things like pharmacy and field medicine and so forth. So it's sort of a general, sort of the sort of education that a practical nurse would receive on civilian life.
Obviously, I'm asking you all of this because Fireburn Doctor is an amazing experience, I think, for you and for other folks, that it exceeds what our technological knowledge would predispose us to believe. Somehow you had this phone number, it was available to you, and you applied it in your case. Would you describe what happened with you and your wife?
Sure. Well, I had the phone number because, as I say, I listened to Internet shows, and I had listened to one where Allison had been interviewed. I had heard the people saying what some of the other burn victims, basically telling their stories, and since I'd been listening to people for many years, I could tell that those people were telling the truth. So I was interested. I put the number in my telephone. One afternoon, I came home after being gone for a few hours, and my wife had her hand under the sink, and she said she'd burned herself, grabbing onto one of these moving hair rollers where the end of it heats up, and you pull it along your hair and straighten it out. Well, she reached down and tried to grab it and grabbed the wrong end of it, and the darn thing was heated up real hot. And so she burned the end three of her left hand fingers pretty badly. And so she had it there. It was under the water, and she was dancing around saying, oh, it hurts. So I said, well, take it out from under the water so I can see it. Oh, I can't. It hurts too bad. It just hurts too bad. So when did it happen? Oh, about 3 hours ago. Well, I thought of the Fireburn Doctor because I had heard the program not too long ago, and well, this would be great. I will call them, and, you know, couldn't hurt. And it sounds pretty fantastic, but it's free, and so what's the risk? I didn't know what else to do because with a burn like that, she was doing what she could, putting it underwater and so forth, so I called. Well, 30 minutes after I made that call, her pain was entirely gone. This astounded me, but what was even more astounding is like a day and a half, 2 days later, the burn had subsided to the point where it looked like it had been healed, like, 10 days or 2 weeks or longer. I mean, however long it would have taken to heal, because it looked to me like it was going to be a pretty good burn, that she was going to have it bandaged and have it, you know, ointments and so forth on it for a good couple of weeks. And instead, there it was, all gone. It was amazing.
Again, it was some 3.5 hours or something after she had burned it,
hours after I came in, after she had burned herself.
What do you think happened? Do you have theories? Do you have understandings? What's your theory on what happened?
My theory on how it works?
Yeah.
I have not a clue. I mean, you tell me how quantum entanglement works. I don't know. Yet physicists have observed it, and they tell me that you change the spin of this electron, and instantly, no matter where it is, the spin of that other electron will change. Okay, how does it work? We don't know.
Are you interested in scientific studies, that kind of, do you read or listen in that vein as well?
It's my hobby, you might say. When I was in high school, I always thought I would be in the scientific world, even though my father was a lawyer. I thought I didn't like that stuff. But it turns out that I went into law instead of science, but I do have kind of a science background in high school. In college, I went through qualitative chemistry, quantitative analysis. I can do calculus. I have had some engineering. I'm not entirely a Luddite.
Well, Allison gave me your phone number and said that I should give you a call because she said that your story, I mean, besides the fact that you've obviously got some medical connection background, which means you have a little bit more insight than most people do to burns, you also, I guess, did some kind of an experiment yourself to follow up, right? That you had a burn after your wife did?
Yeah. Allison called me just earlier, and I related to her that I thought to myself, you know, this burn doctor stuff, this is just fantastic. Have I just forgotten what burns do, and am I just off the beam here? The other day I was taking a cup out of the microwave, and it was a pipe that had a wire in the handle, and the handle got really hot, and I burned my finger on the cup pretty good. Good enough to raise a blister. And so this time I did not call the fire burn doctor, and I observed this thing. Sure enough, it went through the usual things that I expected burns to go through. The next few days it formed a blister. I had to put ointment on it. I had to keep bandages on it. It finally popped and the skin came off, and it got better. In about 2 weeks, it looked better. It looked about like my wife's finger did in about 2 days.
And so are you kicking yourself for having tried that experiment?
I mean, well, you know, I thought well, this is a small enough burn, and I'm familiar with burns, and I can take it. I'm a man. I can take it. I thought, well, I'm just going to see if this burn follows the usual course, because I held it underwater and I, you know, did what you should with burns. And I thought, well, if I'm just imagining this, then this burn should go away and should be okay in a couple of days. Not. It took longer than that, and it went through the usual course I expected. But my wife's burn didn't. So that's why I think that this is something that's worth investigating. I'm not saying that that my experience is proof that it works. I mean, this is a small experience. What I'm saying is that it raises my curiosity enough that I would like to investigate it further.
Well, and I appreciate that you're participating in sharing your experience, putting it out to a wider public here. I hope I'm not beating a dead horse here, but I want to check this out to make sure. I think that most people would feel foolish calling this number for help. Maybe that's unfortunate they feel that way, but what were you expecting or maybe hoping for when you dialed the number in your wife's case?
Well, I have listened to a lot of people on alternative radio shows testifying to a lot of, I'd say testifying, that's the way I think of it, to a lot of fantastic things. And I've seen a couple of things that can't be explained myself. And so I know that there's more to life than we can see or hear or taste or directly sense. I know that at least I don't know the rules of how all that works. All I know is that there's enough evidence out there to convince me that it's there. So I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to put it to the test. These people say that they can heal this burn through some mechanism that I don't understand, that they can't really explain. So by golly, I'm going to try it. So I did try it, and I'm convinced that there's something to it, because I don't think that my wife's burn, I'm convinced it would have gone through the usual 10-day to 2-week course of burn treatment, and it didn't. And so that's something. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see somebody, who, of course I don't wish this on anyone, to have a more serious burn, but it has to be tried in a more clinical setting, where somebody who works with burns all the time has a burn come in. They, in addition to treating it the conventional way, they call the burn doctor and see if that works.
That makes sense to me, too. Again, I'm of a scientific background myself. I've taught physics, including at the university level. So I have a predisposition to say, well, here's how the universe is ordered. But, of course, I also recognize that by approaching the end of the 1800s, physicists thought they pretty much had things nailed down. Figured out how it was. And then following that, Einstein's whole theory of relativity and the confirmations that have come to that, and quantum physics, the emergence of that, which so radically changed so much of what we know about the world.
What about physics? I live in New Mexico. I have all my life. I suppose you heard about the Roswell incident.
Sure.
Well, I know of people who were involved in that, and you know, I know it happened. And so I know that there are other civilizations out there that have technologies far in advance of ours, and they employ physics, and they must employ physics. So there must be part of physics we just don't understand.
Well, I'm always up for a good experiment, put out a hypothesis, bring in the data. And so Fireburn Doctor is doing that, and I really appreciate, Charles, that you'll share your experience. You know, it's data gathering that we're doing right here. And I hope that people will keep that number handy so that they can do it. Where do you keep it?
I keep it on my cell phone under Burn Doctor.
I was pretty sure you had memorized it, too.
Well, actually, I probably could quote it, but I just don't worry about it because I have my cell phone with me all the time.
Well, again, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, bring forth your testimony, perhaps helping a number of people when they do encounter a burn. Thanks for joining me for Spirit in Action.
I hope that people will take the trouble to just put it in their cell phone, and if they encounter a burn, either theirs or somebody else's, to try it out, because it's free, number one, and it can't hurt. I mean, they do ask you for your name and your birth date and where you were born, but they're not going to be able to do anything nefarious with that information. So I would urge people to give it a try.
Thanks again very much, Charles.
Thank you.
Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Well, we're back, and Patricia and Allison are online open. That was an amazing interview.
It is a great interview. Charles is a piece of gold, and you know, he's got great credentials. He's got experience in burns in a regular medical ward, as well as his career as a judge. And but we've got all kinds of cases. We've got ER nurses, we've got glass blowers, we've got bakers, donut makers, tattoo artists, you name it, from all walks of life where burns are occupational hazard. And, you know, why suffer and why not? Just like Charles said, you know, what the heck can't hurt? And that's exactly the outcome, actually. So those are powerful words from him.
Yeah, I think you're going to see some amazing things. And well, I see you've been on Jeff Rents and Coast to Coast, and so you've already talked with millions of people about this. And pretty convincing our little corner of the internet. But
yes, well, it's venturing into more different cultures. Yesterday we were on African American show. Mother Love, and we want to reach into mainstream science shows, and you know, just let them look at it like a public test, a public experiment, and they can set up a group of people, their network, their listeners, and ask for feedback and test it for themselves. So it's open to anybody, and you know, that we want to I'm going to talk to you hopefully after the show, because I'd love to get into more Native communities, because their shows aren't—they don't necessarily listen to Jeff Rents or mainstream shows. And I don't want to—I personally don't want to see any community left out, and want to reach all the mothers. You know, our goal.
We're eating each other's minds, because the first thing I thought about was getting hold of Russell Means. I recently replayed the interview I did with him 4 years ago, just before the election, and the reservation in South Dakota that he was living on was under a huge emergency situation, and he was talking about, you know, we have hardly any emergency response on this reservation, and please call Charlie Rangel. We've got people dying. So getting into Native American sovereignty would be much easier than getting into the United States government, because they're, Native Americans in churches can decide what their membership is, and they have a lot of latitude of what they can do as far as modalities. And if it would resonate with any group of people, it certainly would be with Native Americans. So I'll make sure Russell gets. You know who Russell is? He's the co-founder of American Indian Movement. Back in the 60s, there was that famous Andy Warhol picture of a silhouette of an Indian. That was Russell Means. He was the most famous Indian in the world.
Wow.
And,
excuse me. I've been here 3.5 years, and I'm, come from Britain. And although I've got a very British accent, I'm Irish. So, coming over here, I just realized that America is the pinnacle of the world's media, and it's America's media that's going to pick up the interest and spread it around the world, because they can. And thank goodness for the digital age, because we wouldn't be able to have this data so quickly if it weren't for cell phones, if it weren't for the internet. We simply wouldn't be able to do this public test.
Yeah. It's an idea that whose time has come, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely, indeed. Well, we're going to perhaps play another interview, maybe.
Yeah, let's play Mary Badham.
Mary Badham is the actress that played Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird. She was that lovely little girl opposite Gregory Peck in the early 60s. Here we are, 50 years on. She met the filmmaker, indeed, at the Michigan Film Festival, Michael Moore's Film Festival, and she was given a little sticker with Fireburn Doctor's website and everything on it. And incidentally, people can make those stickers as a template on the news page, where you can run them off very easily, back-to-back information on 2-inch long little handouts, which is a way of getting it out there. But Mary is also a former nurse, and she couldn't stomach working in a burn center because she saw a little bit of it and couldn't take it. So she has a little medical background too. But she took that sticker home, and some few days later, she was with her neighbor who was cooking calamari, and that stuff spits like crazy. And he splashed himself with hot fat, and he went through the roof. And she said, "Let's call Fireburn Doctor." And again, it's the same interviewer as with the judge. We have a piece of footage of her interview and what happened for her.
Okay, I'll go ahead and spin that right now and take us both off the mic. It's about 12 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Mary, I'm so pleased you could join me for Spirit in Action.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
I'm not sure people are going to remember you now. Depending on the age of the listener, they may or may not have seen To Kill a Mockingbird. But you were in that movie. Do you look exactly the same now as you did 50 years ago?
Of course! Don't you know? 50 years later, I look just exactly the same.
I think you were 10 years old at the time of that movie when you played Scout. What was your most memorable line?
Oh, golly, well, there's a couple, but the most popular one is, "Hey, Boo," when Boo is back behind the door.
Did it take you long to memorize that one?
Oh, no. That's an easy one.
You're also on this show because you happen to have had some experience with Fireburn Doctor, and I'm trying to get firsthand evidence of what's happened with this. How did you learn about Fireburn Doctor?
I was at a film festival in Michigan, and the gal who did the documentary on the Fireburn Doctor came over to my table and introduced herself and handed me all this information, talked to me for a few minutes about it, and I was totally fascinated by it. Having been a certified nursing assistant some years back and having dealt with burns some, I was pretty interested in what she had to say. It's a very amazing program.
Well, some people would not say amazing. They'd say unbelievable. But for some reason, you felt like it had credence. What was it that persuaded you to keep the phone number, to post it around, to share it with folks?
Well, at first, I didn't believe myself. I was very skeptical. I don't normally go out for that kind of thing. But it's one of those things that really I thought, if this is something that works, let's go with it. If it's meant to be, it's going to work. Having been a certified nursing assistant and having worked when I was in the hospital, we had to figure out what department we wanted to work in, where we would best fit in. So we were trundled around the hospital into different areas. I had a stint in the burn unit. Now, I don't know how much your listeners know about burn units, but they are pretty horrific places in that you have to inflict pain upon the patients in cleaning the wounds, in debriding them. I couldn't deal with it. Having had that experience, I thought if there is a way to prevent people from having to go through that, I'm all for it. And so I brought the information home and I posted it on my neighbor's refrigerator. Was over having dinner with him one night and he had offered to fix call mine. That can be rather dangerous because if it's not completely dry, it can spit oil at you. Well, anytime you're frying anything, you can have grease burns, and those can be really bad. He got the oil between his fingers. It spat at him and burned in between his fingers and on his hand. And I was just sort of stunned for a minute, and then I thought, oh, well, let's try the fireburn doctor. So I called, and we reported the burn. By the time we finished dinner, we had totally forgotten about it. The next day, I called again, and he's like, what burn? It's fine. And there was no evidence of that burn. It was the most amazing thing. And I thought, well, if this is the way it is, how wonderful can it be? That's in a nutshell, my experience with the burn doctor, but the experiences of other people have been just phenomenal. There was a little girl in Ghana who was, the house caught on fire. There were three children. And her whole, she lost tissue across her, almost her whole abdomen and down the fronts of her legs. Now, with burns, if it's much larger than a quarter, they usually have to graft, skin graft. That entails taking skin from another part of the body and putting it on there, or using, if that's not available, they have grown skin that they can use and various other methods. But this takes weeks, months, years to do. Most of the time when you have burns over 40% of the body, the patients very often don't make it. This child had been taken to hospital. I think it was a family friend who called in the burns, and this child healed. We have photographs of her now, and it's just amazing. Normally when you get burns, it takes all the pigment out of the skin. She didn't even lose the pigment on the skin. It grew back of its own accord. It's miraculous. I just thank God every day that this is the ability that we have now.
Do you have any sense of what the ability is? How can this be done? It's just a phone call, you leave some information, and then something happens. That's max of magic in our books, right?
It does, or miracles, however you want to look at it. I really don't care what it is as long as it works. I'm a Christian. I that's sort of what makes me a little skeptical about some of these things sometimes, but this works. It definitely works. And, you know, if it was your child, your grandbaby, pulled a pot of boiling water over on themselves, what would you do? I would call the fireburn doctor immediately, as well as 911, because I've seen this work, and it's phenomenal.
So I suppose you've probably memorized that phone number, the 818-332-6445. That number that everybody's supposed to put on their refrigerator or in their wallet or just wherever. You never know where you're going to be.
Where you're going to be when you have an emergency. A lot of car wrecks involve fire. When you have a collision in your automobile, the thing that sets off the airbags is a little bit of plastic explosive. And when those bags inflate, they can be very, very hot. The temperature of that is, it's hot enough to burn you. And there have been patients that have been brought into the hospital with burns due to the airbag. Or if you had, a fire, an actual fire in the car. So it's critical that you keep these numbers on you all the time. Whether you believe, I don't care what you believe or how you believe, just, you know, call the number. It can't hurt. It's just, it works. If you call within the first 2 hours, it's best, but we have had some cases that were called in later, and it's been just fine. So please post this, you know, on your fridge, in your wallet, you know, wherever, in your phone. That's one of the best places because most everyone carries a cell phone. 818-332-6445.
I found it interesting that your experience of it was with your neighbor as opposed to your own burn. Have you ever had a burn yourself? Have you had something that would have benefited from something like this?
Oh, absolutely. When, you know, cooking, I couldn't tell you the number of times I've been burned just with cooking dinner. I had one experience in particular where we were living in an old house and I had a microwave that hung unevenly. It was one of those old hanging ones. I had put a casserole in for dinner, and I had put a spoon. It's really stupid, I guess, but it worked. I put a spoon underneath the casserole dish to hold it even, to make it level, so it wouldn't spill into the oven. Well, I had it going on and opened up the oven, and naturally you see the spoon there, and you grab it, and you take it out, and it wasn't until I went to put it down that I realized, oh my goodness, and my hand was seared. It turned the skin white, and the pain was just awful, awful, awful. This is so many years ago, I knew nothing of the burn doctor then, but if that were to happen now, I would definitely call that number.
I guess that your part in To Kill a Mockingbird was your first acting position.
Yes.
You've been on Twilight Zone, other things. Certified nursing assistant is one of the things you've done. What other kinds of work have you done? What's your expertise?
Well, I really don't have an expertise. I'm sort of a jack of all trades, master of none. I have worked for my community college. I have been the test center coordinator for my local college for a number of years. I've worked in art restoration. I have worked in retail. I've done a little bit of everything, which has been great fun. I'm one of these people that I like wearing a lot of different hats during a day. At one point, I had like 5 different part-time jobs, which paid the bills, but it kept me very, very busy. It was a lot of fun, but I don't think I could handle 5 jobs at this point.
It's best not, even if we can multitask. That seems pushing the envelope here.
Right.
So, again, Mary, you're an unqualified supporter of Fireburn Doctor. It's just out of your personal experience.
Yeah.
Your beliefs, you mentioned you're a Christian, and so you tend to be a little bit skeptical about these kinds of things. But I guess experience trumps whatever kind of theoretical beliefs one might see out there.
Right. I would just urge people that, no matter what your beliefs are, try it, because there is no fee for this. There is no money involved in this. This is something that the Fireburn Doctor does totally for the love of the human being out there in trouble, in need. If God has blessed him with this ability, fine. You know, I'm all for it, because for anyone who has ever been to a burn unit before and visited there, I'm sure there are many nurses out there that could testify to how horrific it is when you've got severe burns. And if you can prevent that, I just think it's wonderful.
And I think it's wonderful that you're sharing your time with us here for Spirit in Action to let us know about something that really can help heal us. Again, that phone number is 818- 1-800-332-6445. We've been speaking with Mary Badham. You manure at the age of 10 in To Kill a Mockingbird, but maybe she was grading or supervising your college test since. Thanks so much for joining us, Mary.
Thank you so much for allowing us to come on your show and talk about it. I really appreciate that because I really do want to get the word out.
We'll do our best.
Hi, this is Will Blue, speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about. Well, we're back on the air live with Allison. A little bit of trivia. Do you remember who the actor was that portrayed Boo Radley?
No, I don't. I just know that. You mean, was that off To Kill a Mockingbird?
He was the very quiet one that saved her life. Do you know who Robert Duvall is?
Yes, I know Robert Duvall.
Yeah, Robert Duvall, amazing actor, and especially since I was expecting to see his movie The Great Santini replayed just after those Navy planes crashed in Virginia, because it was much the same kind of an experience and about the same choice that he had to make. And but anyway, that was an amazing clip, and she was a fantastic actor. And I understand what she means about wearing a lot of hats, because all you have to do is just go to my my LinkedIn webpage, and you can see as my uncle who graduated from the Naval Academy in 1945 said, I've had a checkered career, but I've done a lot. So hey, and travel.
Well, Mary. She's been really great since that incident. She's come over to LA and she came on a show yesterday, and you know, celebrities, we've been trying to reach celebrities so they know this is here, because Twitter is a wonderful thing, and they have such enormous networks. We want the celebrities around the world to test this, because when they Twitter Fireburn Doctor on their site, they're reaching tens of thousands of people in one hit. And you know, that action in itself would create more burn cases coming in. People hear it from someone that they know or trust, and it just gives them more impetus to have a go at it. And ultimately, our goal is our campaign goal is mothers, and reaching a million mothers by Monday, every Monday by next Monday, that they tell everybody they know. And we want to reach, they'll be the people who hold this number. They'll have it safe, and that'll spread worldwide. And
hey, I know a show you need to be on. You need to be on Rabbi Laser Brody's show. Rabbi Laser is a friend of mine, and he's got a very, very...
Can I meet him?
I absolutely will. He's got a very important show in Israel, and he's a very influential guy. Israel, yeah.
Whoa, boy, do they need it over there? That's
gosh. Everybody needs this. I mean, you're talking about saving, you know, untold billions of dollars, and hopefully we won't put the silver iodide people out of business.
Well, you know, they can still take care of the burns that come, you know, later. They can still do something. It's not that we have a cutoff. It's that we do not know beyond 30 minutes how it will behave. And we prefer to hear them in the first couple of minutes. But worldwide, it's going to take the world by storm, and but it's the public. The public are the scientists. They're the field scientists, if you like, doing a little experiment of their own. And, you know, people on, who are listening, they may know radio shows or have connections to people who could really help get this out there. Please email fireburndoctor@aol.com and let us know. It'd be great help. And, you know, we could do this in weeks. We're very determined this springtime to break the skins of the mainstream media, because CNN or Associated Press, they have networks of journalists and runners who give us our daily news. They could take pictures of burns. They're there within minutes with their cameras, and then they could follow the burn to the emergency room and see what happens. And,
yep,
you know, they'll capture it on camera, which will be very good.
And, you know, most everybody in the developed world now, you know, is carrying a camera with them. And this is an idea that time has definitely come. And God bless you in your efforts. I know I've, before the show, I got on, you know, my Up With People international, several thousand people, and I'm letting everybody I know about what you're doing, and we want to encourage everyone that's listening to forward that over to everybody that you know. This is a life-saving work, and if you've ever been badly burned, if you've ever been burned at all, you can imagine what it would be. Like, I have a friend who was burned. Well, he's about, I think about 60 now, but when he was 5 years old, his brothers and sisters were supposed to be watching him, and he lived down in South Louisiana, and they ran across the street to play Red Rover, and they left him around this big bonfire. He was playing Indian and dancing around the fire, and he fell face first into that fire.
Oh, golly.
And you can't see a lot of damage now because the most of the scarring has moved down onto his abdomen, about the same level of height, you know, where he was. But this man was horribly. He was treated as an outcast when he was a child. Had to wear smelly ointments and tinfoils, and he was scarred in more ways than one.
Gross stigma too for the rest of their lives. Yeah,
absolutely, and you can imagine how it affects people's self-esteem, he's a together guy, but I know he still has scars from that experience, and because, you know, when you grow up, I mean, let's face it, anybody that's in school nowadays and they're a little bit different, or they're fat like me, or they're funny looking, or they got buck teeth or whatever, they get bullied, and children can be so relentlessly mean, and so this is saving, you know, not only lives but, you know, people's futures too.
Absolutely, indeed. You know that everybody was probably seen the Come Dancing program with J.R. Martinez. You know, horrifically in services, soldiers. This is so commonplace. The landmines and bombings that happen to the military. I mean, he was horribly burned in a military incident. And, you know, we want to get hold of people like that. He would be a great figurehead. I'm sure he would just love this and pass it on to the big people. Jamie Lee Curtis, she made a film about ER nurses in burn centers. She called them unsung heroes because of what they had to do to their fellow human beings. And she, you know, it was just horrific to her that somebody had to do that, that they had to scrape that skin down and cause further agony to an already agonizing situation. We want to get hold of her. She's another person who would be a great bastion for this. But really, you know, for everyday people, public members, you can give this to your Facebook members, your community, your schools, and you don't have to sell it to them. You don't have to convince anybody of anything. Just say, this is a public test, and I want to see if it works. Let's do a little community experiment ourselves and see within our own personal group what the results are. And you'll be shocked. And anybody, incidentally, who is the cause of bringing in burn cases because of their own due diligence,
That is a qualifying step in the training. It's the only qualifying step in the training. And people who are interested can email again, fireburndoctor@aol.com. But that's all we ask for, you know, an altruistic streak where you want to help people. And we intend training tens of thousands of people worldwide. They can take this into their communities, into their countries, and create their own little relay team. And that's what happened in Ghana with through Adelaide, because a Burn Foundation chap over there heard about the case with Adelaide. In fact, he's photographed in her recovery pictures. And he'd heard about Fireburn Doctor. He also used it, although he'd been a burn victim years before, and before Fireburn Doctor was out there. So he his scars himself from dreadful disfigurement. He then had burned his own arm and used Fireburn Doctor, so he knew the difference. And there's no scars in that burn. He's setting up a relay team in Ghana, contacted his local community people, that anyone in that country can then send a number through to him. And they may not be English-speaking. They can get hold of him, and he will relay that information to the U.S. number. And anyone can do that.
Well, one person... absolutely. You know, I think that anyone that resonates with the paranormal could resonate with this. And did you know that the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, is he's a UFO enthusiast. I understand he keeps a map in his
Indeed.
Study. Yeah.
Yes, and he's Celtic, too. He's Celtic, so somewhere in his genealogy, he's connected to this work. And we're all associated to this work. We're all part of that one, and our greater nature is to help, to heal, to assist life-enhancing work, life-saving work. We're all part of that, and it helps you be very healthy yourself. It's very natural thing to do. But yeah, he talks to plants, doesn't he? I understand. He's quite a natural guy, and he was the Duke of Cornwall. That's where I used to live in. I used to live in Cornwall in the UK.
Hmm.
And when I was a little girl, I met him, and I was a very little girl. He came to my school, which was a little Dutchy school, and I deliberately threw my flag to the ground, and he picked it up and gave it to me. Yeah. So, yeah, but we want everyone to know, and one day it would be great that the royals know, but they're very insulated where they are, and it'll happen when the mainstream break the story.
Her Royal Majesty keeps 100 homeopathic remedies with her wherever she goes. She calls them their little black box.
Does she? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and everybody just needs to brainstorm. And anybody can get involved. That's the neat thing about this is a movement, and it's kind of like the scouting movement of 100 years ago. But there is a book you might want to read by Lord Robert Stevenson Smythe Baden Powell called "Building a Popular Movement." I read that. I have a degree in youth leadership, and that was one of the books that I had to read and on the road to getting my degree. And it explains the steps that he took historically to build that worldwide movement, which is involves millions of kids worldwide today. So that might be worth a read for you for research.
Yes, indeed. And I've come to trust the social media, the people telling people, friends telling friends, it's kind of like a revisit of the old ways of doing things, but we've got the technology to do it extremely efficiently now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Twitter and Facebook are, sing the praises of those two things, because you can reach millions of people.
When you said we've got the technology, reminds me of $6 Million Man. We have the technology. We can rebuild him.
We have the technology for burns. We can rebuild you, and it's actually your body doing it. But it's a great thing for people to see, because we're brought up with the medical model and reductionist science, and reductionist science stems from a belief. It's a scientist who has a belief or a theory, and then he goes out to see and check to test whether it's true.
Well, this isn't empiricism, which is reductionist science. This is expiricism. We already knew. We made a statement. The founder made a statement. And this is an experiment in proofs. Proofs, proofs, proofs. So people know by the sheer volume of proof worldwide, it's a slam dunk, and it can't be attacked or doubted, and the evidence is proven. And so it's expiricism by the experiment of demonstrating proof.
And by the way, if we have any listeners that would like to call in, you can call us at 347-996-3318. The number is on the page that you're listening to this interview on, and we are live until 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I kind of wondered, I have dreams, and there's been something going on here lately that's been trying to get my attention, and any time I dream about any dream symbol, more than once in a dream or on successive nights, things kind of get my attention, and my dreams have lately been telling me, hey, something's really up, something's coming, and you need to watch for it, and so I'm really excited about this.
Goody. I find it very exciting, too. Not a day goes by where I'm not very excited by this, and soon we're going to be having... People are going to realize that they can use it on severe burns. Please call in. If you happen to, like Mary Badham says, if you happen to come across an incident, then get in there with your cell phone and ask somebody, say, please can I take a picture of the face of this burn victim? Nothing to lose. It goes through to Fireburn Doctor. And by the way, all data sent through to us is protected under the HIPAA laws. The head of our team is a student of this technology. He's a medical doctor, Dr. Joseph Watson. So it's treated with the utmost discretion and respect. But even if you didn't want to send your name, your date of birth, your place of birth, you can just send a photo, any photo, even if it's old. So you can be heroes out there and see for yourself in a very dramatic way.
I know maybe one way I was thinking of spreading the word, and you might want to think about putting up some MP3s on your website that people can download and burn onto those small calling card size DVD CDs that they can hand out. And just go down to the hospital and hand them out. And,
yeah. Well, on the news page, there we've got a list of radio shows that we've been on very recently. You can take those there, MP3 players. The judge's interview and Mary's interview, they're on there. We've got a Russian scientist, government worker, patent office government worker who tested us. We've got all walks of life, and when they're happy to be public, it helps other people hear the credentials, because mm-hmm. nobody with those kinds of qualifications are going to risk their jobs by lying. So it's...
Well, do you know who Stan Shep is, the guy that does remote area medical all over the world?
No, don't know that name either. I'm a green apple, you see, over here. I have to learn all these names.
Stan's here. I've got friends of the Tennessee State Guard, and they provide... Tennessee State Guard is an unpaid, all-volunteer arm of the Tennessee Military Department. I used to be an officer in a similar outfit in Oregon back in the 80s. But anyway, Stan... organizes remote area medical missions throughout the Appalachians, but he also goes into countries all over the world, and so he has doctors, dentists, nurses, and people that come in and offer their services absolutely free. You just have to get there, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and stand in line. And he's another person I'd like to see get a hold of this information, and because
Let's talk off air.
Absolutely.
We've done all our chats by email. It'd be nice to talk on the phone and see, have a little brainstorming, see who we can reach, who could help spread the word faster.
Absolutely. Well, do you need to go?
Well, it's coming up that time. Are you going to play some music on your show?
Yeah, I thought I would play. We've just got a few minutes left. I wanted to... to play a couple of songs just to... at the end of the show here, and you can go ahead and ring off, and I'll get with you offline, and I'll play some really nice music here at the end of the show and let people think about this. And thank you so much, Allison.
You're welcome.
For calling in. And oh, by the way, I'm descended from the Browns of Ireland. I have several the Butler's Browns. Butler's Browns. I have an extensive sense of genealogy of about 15,000 names in my pedigree, so I know, you know, where my people are from. And
And they all go back to an original family. Like my name is a McDermott, and it goes back to a family in Cork. You know, and it's great fun to trace that. But this technology goes back deeper and further through those ancestral lineages is exciting to anybody with who's connected to that. Do you have Native American as well in your blood?
Well, my mother's mother was a Wilson, and she's a descendant of Motuaca, otherwise known as Pocahontas. And you know, everybody in England, I mean, all the royal families in all over Europe are her descendant now. And but I have Cherokee and Shawnee and Powhatan blood from
such a personal kindredness to these clans, because ultimately, anciently, we're all very, very connected. And to see proof research is such a great thing that we're all one family here.
And Ed McGaugh, who's written five or six books on Native spirituality, you know, he honors his Celtic ancestors, you know, just as much as he does his Lakota Oglala ancestors, and as did Floyd Red Crow Westerman. And he had a strong resonance with his Irish Westerman ancestors. And you know, my traditional teacher Rolling Thunder taught us. He says, you know, he says, just because you know your white ancestors, you know, did some bad things to your red ancestors, don't hate that part of yourself. And you know, matter of fact, during it was prophesied that the grandchildren of the people at Little Bighorn, the yellow hair, that someday that they would come to Native people wanting wisdom. And in the 1960s, Rolling Thunder and the Hopi elders got together, and they had a place in Carlin, Nevada, and they had hundreds of hippies, mostly, you know, come over there. But by the late 70s, early 80s, they had become so racist against their own kind. He sent them all home. He says, "You're totally missing the point."
With just a repeat of the website and the number, the fireburndoctor.com, that's updated regularly. Check out the video page. We've got the footage of the first in human history of that engineer we spoke of in the early part of the program. I hope you don't mind swearing, because it's very raw. We've got all sorts of footage. We've got voice messages from people who left excruciatingly agonized voice messages, and then they're all calm and, "I don't know what you did, I don't know how you guys did that, but thank you." We've all sorts of bits on there, so do have a good read on that. And keep that number, 818-332-6445, wherever you are, and pass it around, please.
Absolutely, and I want to emphasize that this is a sacred work that you're doing. And this song I want to play for everybody, it's called "In a Sacred Manner I Live." It was recorded about 40 years ago by during a show that I performed in. The soloist name was Frank Fields, and you can find Frank Fields on Facebook. But let me play you this song, and if you need to ring off, go ahead, and I'm just going to take us both off mic.
I'll say goodbye, and thank you for having us. I really appreciate your time.
You bet.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We'll get together offline. I'm going to mute our mics.
All righty. Night-night.
The hot sun on the dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. standing. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone and the valley, the mountains high and running streams in a sacred valley round me. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many, sparrow and the antelope, the eagle high and the buffalo. Oh, Mother Earth, I can't. One with me and all your children. In a sacred manner I lift to the heavens I gain. In a sacred manner I lift. My horses are many,
Sagonie, a seventh grade grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. 我需要切切切 You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault.